Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. A prominent cleric joined Iraq's top Shiite Muslim religious leader in demanding that a proposed transitional legislature be elected directly, throwing another obstacle in the path of a U.S.-sponsored political plan for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi al-Modarresi, a respected Shiite cleric based in the holy city of Karbala, said Tuesday that the legislature should be elected and warned that ignoring popular participation in the political process would have grave consequences. In this age of mega-corporate media ownership, community radio has nearly become a thing of the past. But there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the coalition of Immokalee workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus' goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A Frenchman who burned his life savings to a cinder before swallowing two bottles of pills is facing life with an empty bank account after neighbors foiled his suicide attempt. The man who lived alone had cleared out his bank balance of 240,000 euros and set fire to the pile of 500 euro notes in his bath before swallowing the pills, hoping to leave nothing behind after his death. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, Matthew.
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds. These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle-classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation, overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg, laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Did you see where President Bush has signed into law the Healthy Forest Restoration Act of 2003? Sounds so noble, doesn't it? Just happened. Just happened. And it is amazing when you look at this. Another sellout to the corporate interests in America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass destruction, such as the Healthy Forest Restoration Act of 2003. Got a good summary of this from the Environmental Media Services, the American Lands Alliance. Today, President Bush signed into law the Healthy Forest Restoration Act of 2003. This is House H.R. 1904. Despite the claims of its supporters, this misguided wildfire bill leaves homes and communities vulnerable to wildfire, severely limits public participation. Now, see, this is one of the main rationales that they used to sell this thing, was that there's all these environmentalist wackos who are tying us up in lawsuits so that we can't get anything done. We can't clear the brush, and we can't clear the dead trees, and we can't prevent the forest fires because these you know, lefty, pinko, liberal environmentalists are just, you know, suing us. So we need a law that says that it's against the law to sue us, which this bill does, among many other things. Interestingly, just last month, the General Accounting Office, which is not a partisan group, released a report, particularly under the Bush administration, released a report which found that of 818 Forest Service fuel reduction projects, that is where the Forest Service goes out and says, hey, let's get some of the dead trees out of here, or let's cut the undergrowth, or let's, you know, whatever, so that this forest isn't going to be at risk of fire. Of 818 of these projects, 97% proceeded without litigation, and 95% proceeded within the standard 90-day panel review period. This is the fourth consecutive GAO study to contain similar findings. So, in other words, I mean, these are the facts. When you hear Bush go on TV saying, well, you know, and now we're not going to have those things that were holding up our attempts to clear brush and to clear the fuel for these forest fires, it's a lie. It's a plain old, flat-out, normal for this administration, bald-faced lie. This is another Trojan horse It's another attempt to say, we're going to hand the public wealth, the commonwealth, those, the commons, the things that we hold in trust, on behalf of we the people, the Bush administration is going to hand over to a bunch of corporate cronies who are in turn going to give George Bush a few million dollars more for his political campaigns and all of his Republican friends. Which is going to get me to the topic that I really want to get into this hour, which is, should Dennis Hastert be prosecuted for felony bribery? Wait till you hear about this one. And I will get to it, I promise you. I got a very sweet letter from somebody in Illinois saying, you know, sometimes you say you're going to get to something and you don't. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that kind of feedback. I will make sure to get to it. I promise you. Anyhow, I want to just finish this thing here with this forest bill. Moreover, the Bush administration used the tragedy. I mean, this just came in. This is like hot off the wires. Bush administration used the tragedy of the Southern California fires to forward their pro-logging agenda. The fires in Southern California would not have been prevented by the new abusive powers granted by under President Bush's bill. The majority of the Southern California fires, for example, started and burned on private, not public lands. And the fires were burning on chaparral shrub and grassland, not forests. So, you know, this has got nothing to do with that, but he will demagogue that. Guarantee you. Use the pictures of the California. Look at that. According to Forest Service documents, it was extreme drought conditions and a lack of funding that stalled fuel reduction work around homes and communities in Southern California. Global warming, extreme drought. I mean, a lot of other countries, as they're seeing these kinds of crises, you know, in France they had last summer, the hottest summers in the history. I mean, they've been keeping track of temperatures in France for thousands of years. Never seen anything like it. Australia, huge fires coming right up to the edge of Sydney 3 years ago. Never seen anything like it. And they're all right up front. The weather patterns are changing. And they are. Weather patterns are changing. I mean, no competent scientist denies it. They go on to say, in fact, no fuel reduction projects had been appealed or litigated on any of the Southern California national forests in the past 3 years. Yet the Bush administration continued to claim that projects were stalled by environmental appeals and litigation. Sorry, it's a lie. Lisa Dix of this organization, the Environmental Media Service and the American Lands Alliance, said, and I quote, under Bush and the leadership of former logging industry lobbyist Mark Ray and former logging industry lawyer Rebecca Watson, you will start noticing these names, we have already seen the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management propose massive, quote, forest health, end quote, logging projects in roadless wildlands and ancient old growth forests. Unfortunately, this legislation, coupled with a slew of environmental rollbacks from this administration, will make such logging easier than ever. The Healthy Forest Restoration Act does not effectively protect homes from wildfire. According to a Forest Service analysis, only 92% of the fully 92% of the land representing a risk to communities is not federal land, and this bill only focuses on federal land. It limits public participation. Bush administration calls about analysis paralysis. You know, saying that these lawsuits and you need to look into these things and all of this nonsense. 818 Forest Service fuel reduction projects, 97% proceeded without litigation. Does not ensure protection for ancient old growth forests and provides no protection for roadless wilderness wildlands. This bill specifically allows logging of ancient old growth forests in the case of, quote, epidemics of disease or insects, end quote, and in cases of wind throw, blowdown, and ice storms. The bill also does not protect roadless wildlands from commercial logging under the guise of fuel reduction. So, that hadn't meant to start with that, but, you know, that news came in just 4 minutes before we went on the air.
And just had to share that with you. There's one other thing that I want to share with you before we get into this, you know, what's going on in Washington. I thought this was really interesting. You know, this massacre or this great battle that we had where we killed 46 or 54 Iraqis a couple of days ago in Samarra. Turns out a lot of these guys were wearing black. And we've been saying, well, that, you know, that's the costume of the Saddam Fayyadeen, they refer to them, although more often than not they're simply called the Fayyadeen. And the black uniforms, this from the public, the Pacific News Service, a commentary by William O. Beenan, Samarra Massacre Will Haunt U.S. and Iraq. The black uniforms of the Fayyadeen have additional symbolic value. They are reminiscent of the black flags of the Abbasid Empire. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. The great Persian Arab Empire founded in 750 CE. It was founded in Baghdad, and it ushered in the golden age of Islamic civilization. No one in Iraq can see the solid black color without having this association. Now, what's the significance of the city and the mosque that we, you know, with best of intentions, we were under attack, we were responding, but our soldiers shot into this mosque and shot this little kid there, in fact. Well, you know, Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, had a couple of kids and some grandsons, and the grandsons, I don't remember if it was his children or one of his followers and one of his children created the two main sects of Islam. And, you know, it's sort of a falling out. It's sort of like, you know, what happened with the Mormons, only, you know, bigger. And Hussein, who is the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, had several descendants who were 10th and 11th century Shia imams. See, the Shias come from the actual lineage of Muhammad. The Sunnis come from the Muhammad's, like, right-hand guy, who was not related to him. This was a big split in Islam way back when. And two of his grandchild Hussein's descendants, the 10th and 11th Shia imams, were martyred and buried in Samarra. The mystical messianic 12th imam, and this was a character who was like the fifth or sixth generation grandson of Muhammad, who in legend is like Jesus. You know, he did miracles, he mystically appeared, he had all these superpowers. He disappeared in this city, in the city of Samarra in 878 CE, and it is believed by the Shiite Muslims, that on the day of judgment, he is going to reappear in that city. So for the Shia, this battle in Samarra would be like for Christians if a war was to erupt on the plain of Armageddon, which, as I recall, is north and east of Jerusalem. I mean, can you imagine what the buzz would be in the Christian world if war broke out at Armageddon? For the Shia Muslims, who represent a good chunk of Iraq, I mean, this is the majority in Iraq, that's what just happened. And we were the bad guys. And this article points out that the Bush administration fails to appreciate the impact of cultural symbolism on the Iraqi population. We wonder why now in the last poll, it was just a week old, only 10% of Iraqis say that they trust us. And it's not, you know, again, it's not that our guys are doing bad things. It's not that you know, yeah, there's a few bad apples, but, you know, most of them are well-intentioned. I mean, they're there. We're trying to build a stable country. I think the soldiers certainly, of course, believe that they're trying to do the best thing. But, boy, you know, you go in and you don't study a culture and you don't understand what's going on with the culture, and you can get bit in the butt really bad. And that's what's happening to us here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
helping you win the water cooler wars.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Hi, Steve. I mean Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude, I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Acid rain is not a problem, said a businessman. But all the fish are belly up and floating round. And there's nothing growing from the ground. Just ask Farmer Brown. On the corner are some activists with picket signs. They want the factories to stop their filthy ways. But the government says it's okay. It'll go away any day. Acid rain is a
on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. In fact, great bumper music to be talking about acid rain there. That's not in this hour. It's in our second hour. We're going to get into that. Some interesting things going on. Anyhow, just to wrap up this thing about Iraq, the point is that if we were to say, okay, we don't have to sell off all the Iraqi businesses to American companies. We don't have to have the spoils of war. And we don't have to have control of the oil. We'll let the Iraqis do both. And build an Iraqi army and let the Iraqi army actually be an Iraqi army and let democracy actually happen in Iraq and let them have a vote and let the chips fall where they may. Then ultimately, democracy will be served. I'm convinced of it. You're seeing this in Iran right now. There's a strong backlash to the Ayatollahs, to the mullahs. And Iran has a democratically elected parliament. The problem is that the religious leaders have veto power over it. And the people are really upset about this. And they're having demonstrations in the streets. And they're electing more and more outspoken Democrats to the council. Democracy is a force that can't be stopped. It can only be interfered with. And we are interfering with it now at this point in Iraq. For the benefit of multinational corporations in America. So, anyhow, I promised you, should Denny Hastert go be investigated and perhaps prosecuted for bribery? This is incredible. This from Chatterbox, Tim Noah. Representative Rick Smith, Republican of Michigan, says that sometime late November 21st or early in the morning of November 22nd, somebody on the House floor threatened to redirect campaign funds away from his son Brad, who is running to succeed him, if he didn't support the Medicare prescription bill. This is what Robert Novak, according to the Associated Press, said. On the House floor, Nick Smith was told business interests would give his son $100,000 in return for his father's votes. When he still declined, fellow Republican House members told him they would make sure Brad Smith never came to Congress. After Nick Smith voted no and the bill passed, Representative Duke Cunningham of California and other Republicans taunted him that his son was dead meat. His chief of staff said Novak's account is, quote, basically accurate, end quote. That means Smith was an eyewitness to a federal crime. And here's the crime. Bribery of public officials and witnesses. It's under federal law, a person commits bribery if he, and I quote from the federal law, directly or indirectly, corruptly gives, offers, or promises anything of value to any public officer or official who has been selected to be a public official or offers to promises any public official or any person who has been selected to be a public official to give anything of value to any other persons or entities with intent to influence an official act, end quote. Promising to redirect $100,000 to Representative Smith's son's campaign clearly meets the legal definition of bribery. Now, who did it? Well, you look at the camera and you look at Congressional Daily and you see that around 4 o'clock in the morning, Denny Hastert's got his arm around Smith and he's gesturing. 20 minutes later, Hastert's working him over again, this time with Tommy Thompson. And at 5:30 a.m., half hour before the vote, there's Dennis Hastert and Tommy Thompson again harassing Smith. Are they the felons? Will any of the felons from this administration ever be brought to justice? This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. News without conflicts of global corporate interest. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. a particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh, I am just a student, sir, and only want to learn. But it's hard to read through the rise and smoke from the books that you like to burn. So I'd like to make a promise, and I'd like to make a vow, that when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. Oh, you've given me a number and you've taken off my name. To get around this campus, why, you almost need a plane. And you're supporting Chiang Kai-shek while I'm supporting Mao. So when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now. I wish that you'd make up your mind, I wish that you'd decide that I should live as freely as those who live outside. 'Cause we also are entitled to the rights to be endowed. And when I've got something to say, sir, I'm gonna say it now.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We all need to say it loud. Welcome to the real free speech zone. Day 142 in the search for the traitor in the White House. That person who committed treason, the Julius Rosenberg of the Bush administration. Day 296 in the search for those. Well, I'll let George tell you about them.
We know that the regime has produced thousands of tons of chemical agents, including mustard gas, sarin nerve gas, VX nerve gas. Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun. It could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Well, how about any proof? any proof at all, even the smallest proof. No, day 296 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Day 782 in the search for the anthrax killer who just happened to paralyze the United States Senate as they were considering the Patriot Act. And day 805 in the search for George Bush's father's business partner's son, Osama bin Laden. So we've got Nick Smith, congressman from Michigan, Representative Nick Smith, a witness to a federal crime, the federal crime of bribery. They came to him and they said, if you'll vote yes on the Medicare bill, we'll give $100,000 to your son's campaign for Congress. And congratulations to Nick Smith for having the courage to say no, but shame on him for not reporting an attempted bribe. My listeners in Michigan, if you are in Rick Smith's district, I encourage you to contact him. The telephone number of the United States Congress is area code 202-224-3121. And ask Representative Smith if he will contact the Capitol Police and tell them he was a witness to a crime, the crime of attempted bribery, that was reported by Robert Novak in the Associated Press. And ask, who was it who committed this crime? Was it Denny Hastert? I mean, it sure looks that way. Or was it the guy who was with him, Tommy Thompson, on two of those occasions? Was it House Majority Leader Tom the Hammer DeLay? Delay anything having to do with the health of America. Former bug killer, former exterminator from Texas. Which one of these guys was it? Who committed the crime, Representative Smith? We'd like to know. We feel that in a Republican democracy, in a representative government, that has a rule of law that says it's a crime to offer anything of value to any public official with the intent to influence any official act, we kind of think that those folks should be prosecuted and at the very least investigated. Let's put this out. Washington attorney Mark Miller, he's one of these guys who advises congressmen on ethics issues and things. He says what Novak described not only looked like a, quote, slam dunk violation of the bribery law, but also probably included, quote, a smorgasbord of other criminal violations. Representative Smith, Miller said, quote, should really be sharing the specifics with the Justice Department. So enough with the guessing games, Congressman Smith. You know, I just got this story before we went on the air. What I'm going to do after I get off the air is I'm going to call Congressman Smith's office and I'm going to ask who tried to bribe him. And I will let you know what he says. Here's another example of the same thing. The federal official who runs Medicare, this was in the New York Times today, right? And the kicker to this story is buried at the bottom. But it's the same thing. The federal official who runs Medicare, here's the first paragraph. The federal official who runs Medicare and was intimately involved in drafting legislation to overhaul the program is the object of a bidding war among five firms hoping to hire him to advise clients affected by the measure. This is an article by Robert Payer called Health Industry Bidding to Hire Medicare Chief. Mr. Scully, this is the federal official who runs Medicare, who five different for-profit companies are trying to get him, you know, they're having a bidding war to hire him now. Mr. Scully has made no secret of the fact that he's been looking for a job outside the government for more than 6 months, even as he's spent hundreds of hours in closed sessions with House and Senate negotiators, in some cases nothing but Republicans, working out countless details of the legislation. This is the Medicare legislation. Now, here's the kicker. In his last job, this is the guy who's running Medicare right now. In his last job as president of the Federation of American Hospitals, a trade group for investor-owned hospitals, Mr. Scully made $675,000 a year. So here's this guy who's making almost three quarters of $1 million a year as the head of a trade association representing Bill Frist's family interests, private for-profit hospitals. And he comes into, where the Bush administration brings him in to run Medicare. So we get the Fox here that we bring him in and say, hey, watch the hen house for us. And then they write the law that's gonna privatize the hen house. And the Fox is now looking for another job. Another three quarters of $1 million or $1 million. I'll bet that he ends up with a job that pays well over $1 million. They're going to pay this guy off so well. They're going to pay him off so well. I mean, it's just, it's going to happen. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Rama in Vermont's on the line. Hey, Rama, how are you today? What's up?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you?
I'm alive and kicking.
Hey, this isn't what I wanted to say, but RICO, Racketeering Influence of Corrupt Organizations Law. I think the feds might have finally actually crossed the line where you could walk into a court of law and start getting some of these politicians on it.
Well, there's this woman who's suing Bush under the RICO law.
Yeah, but that,
you know, that's a stretch.
That was for 9/11, though.
Right.
I think we could do it now just out of pure corruption, and this would go across party lines, too. But what I wanted to mention, you brought up the fact about Leahy, and they haven't found the masked mailer anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning, Senator Leahy, I'm from Vermont, of course. Senator Leahy is our senator up here in Vermont. I was listening to WDEV, a local radio station. And they were talking to Leahy, and the one of the hosts asked him if the government did find out who was behind the anthrax mailings, did Leahy believe that they would make the information public or even tell Leahy? And Leahy's response was a 2 or 3 second silence, and then he said no, he didn't think they would.
In other words, they may already know who did it.
Yeah, well, Leahy, he didn't imply that, but what he said was he did not think that they would tell the public or even him, and the way that he said it left room for your imagination to run that he knew things that he wasn't saying, but it was this brief pause, and you could see him thinking, you know, I just feel him mulling this over, yeah. And he just said no. There was no ambiguity in there.
Well, that's why I mention this every day as we do this countdown, because most Americans, number one, never put two and two together. Because when the anthrax letters went out, I mean, of course, they were the screaming news, and they replaced the news of the fact that the United States Senate was considering the Patriot Act and was very skeptical about it. And the two guys who had the power to bring, you know, if a bill doesn't get out of committee, it doesn't happen. And the Patriot Act was introduced into the Judiciary Committee, which Pat Leahy was the head of.
Yeah.
And if the head of the Senate, if the Senate Majority Leader, who was then Tom what's his name?
Daschle.
Tom Daschle, thank you. I constantly want to say Tom DeLay. It's
too many names.
Yeah, I know. Who was Tom Daschle. If Tom Daschle didn't put that thing on the schedule, it never would have come up for a vote. I mean, that's the kind of power that the Speaker of the President of the Senate has, or the head of the Senate, the Majority Leader of the Senate. And the president of the Senate is the vice president, of course. But in any case, that's the kind of power that he has. And Pat Leahy and Tom DeLay were the only two guys.
Daschle,
thank you. Bless you, Rama. I just got distracted here. Were the only two guys who had the power to stop this thing. And they're the only two who got the anthrax. And I just find that more than a coincidence, frankly. I've got to say, I'm sorry, I'm not a conspiracy nut, generally speaking. I don't think I don't think that you have to be a conspiracy nut to think that there's some association between those two things. I mean, it's called connecting the dots. It's what every police officer does every day who's investigating a crime scene. It's not this is just very simple, straightforward stuff.
Yeah, well, so. I remember reading a book not too well, about a year ago now, Hitler, and it was written from some newly released information that came out of Russia from, I think it was Goebbels,
Goebbels.
It was one of the German, one of the higher-up mucky-mucks, and they had these notes, and this book was taken in good part from these notes, and the thing that you get was that, you know, Hitler never said to go out and kill all the Jews. What he did was lay the framework and the philosophical backing to do it. And the term that kept popping up in this book was everybody worked towards Hitler. He never had to give them distinct orders.
Well, you want to understand that, just read Mein Kampf or just read parts of it. I mean, it's all over the Internet. Hitler was never trying to hide his intentions. And that's one of the horrible things about what happened.
Well,
I got to move along. I got Armin on the line. You want to make a last point here before I go?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that's what I think in general is happening now. Bush doesn't have to sit there and tell people to do it. They're working towards him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. He's defining the agenda. Thanks, Rama, for the call. I appreciate it very much. Just for your information, it is Representative Nick Smith, N-I-C-K, like Nick Danger, Private Eye, only this is Nick Smith, Republican from Michigan, who apparently Dennis Hastert attempted to bribe with $100,000 for his son's campaign. Apparently his son is also running for the House from Michigan or is on some sort of a political whatever. So, and where the article came from was Chatterbox, and the URL, it's on Slate. Slate.msn.com, you'll find it. This is where it came from. I'm guessing that probably Louise dug this out this morning. I'm guessing she probably found it on BuzzFlash and linked to it. You might want to check BuzzFlash.com. Armand is on the line in Florida, 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Hey, Armand, how are you this morning? What's up?
I'm just fine. How are you doing, okay?
Yep.
All things considered, right?
Well, no, actually, it's a beautiful day here in Vermont. It got down to zero last night, and which is actually kind of nice. It was fun going out and getting the newspaper this morning. I'm looking forward to taking a walk here after I get off the air. But anyway, that's not what you called about. What's on your mind?
Well, I've drawn a conclusion about this administration, and I wanted your opinion of it. My conclusion is, without their lies and corporate monopoly protection, the Bush crime family is helpless, hopeless, and useless.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's Armin. Thanks, and I thanks for the comment. I appreciate that. My take on it is that there are people out there who call themselves conservatives who really and truly believe this religious premise. And I have to phrase it as a religious premise because it is a belief system for which there's no physical evidence. That doesn't mean it's not true. But even past experience demonstrates that it fails. And, you know, the conservative worldview requires a caste and class structure. We've talked in detail in the past about the details of the conservative worldview. But that these guys have come to the conclusion that corporations can more effectively guarantee freedom and liberty in America than can government. A government, an elected government of, by, and for we the people that is owned by we the people, they have decided is less likely to provide us with freedom and liberty and a reasonable quality of life than our private corporations. And therefore, corporations should have a say in how the government is run. They should be able to lobby. They should be able to give money to politicians. They should be able to advertise on political issues. And it's perfectly all right to essentially sell out to them, and not even sell out to them. They don't even view it as that. They view themselves as representing corporate interests. I mean, you've got Billy Towson who goes in and says he's the representative of the chemical industry, and you got the representatives of the oil industry, and you got representatives of the logging industry, you know, depending on where they're from. And they're not there representing the people in their district, by and large. They're representing the industries in their district. And that's what is causing the loss of liberty in America. That is what is causing the loss of democracy in America. And so, you know, you ask, I'm sure somewhat rhetorically, Armin, you know, what are these guys, you know, are they worth anything? And I'd say, you know, I think that they really have good intentions. I think they really and truly believe that that's the best way, and they're just wrong. And all the evidence indicates they're wrong, but in the meantime, they're making out like bandits, and you wonder, you know, how much money does somebody have before their intelligence kicks in? Sarah in Santa Fe, stick around. I'll pick up your call on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting. Stay tuned.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
common sense. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
A paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome to the radio support group of By and For. We the People. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Sarah in Santa Fe is on the line and patiently waited through the break. Thank you, Sarah. Welcome to the program, and thank you for calling.
Thank you, Tom. I just, quick point, I just wanted to say that I think all these discussions that come up about how we're doing creating democracy in Iraq, what kind of a democracy we should have, blah, blah, I just think that's a distraction, and what we should be having, if the press were really doing its job, would be daily reports of the oil extractions in both Iraq and Afghanistan, the progress of the pipeline constructions, just like we have daily weather reports. It would be neat to have, you know, these daily reports on the war profiteering, and particularly, I think, the oil extraction.
Well, and I'd also like to hear some...
Beg your pardon?
I'd also like to hear some daily reports on the strike activities that are going on in California and half a dozen other states against the supermarkets and things. I mean, there's a lot of labor action out there, too, that's being ignored.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And but, you know, I just think that our whole purpose in going into Iraq and Afghanistan was influence in the area and grabbing natural resources.
Yeah, oil was the first reason. I mean, that's just so simple.
And for us to get involved in reporting on what Bremer is doing and what that appointed council is doing, and it's nowhere. I mean, I just don't think we should waste any more time discussing it, because
that is not
the issue.
I agree, Sarah. And, you know, one critical point that you made, number one, you said, if the press was doing its job, and that's part of the problem, is that in the last 20 years, the press's job has been redefined away from reporting the truth and toward entertaining a market and buying listeners, getting market shares. Secondly, this is what George Bush said to the Iraqis just as he invaded, you'll recall.
Fate will depend on your actions. Do not destroy oil wells.
Yes, indeed. So now we know what's up. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thank you, Sarah, for the call. The place where smart people get their news.
Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate
don't
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. The dollar hit record lows against the euro for the fourth consecutive trading day on Wednesday as concerns about the U.S. current account deficit and Washington's handling of post-war Iraq overshadowed a U.S. recovery. Traders said the dollar's inability in recent weeks to capitalize on a steady flow of strong U.S. economic indicators disappointed dollar bulls and prompted traders to go along with the U.S. currency's broad-based downtrend. In this age of mega-corporate media ownership, community radio has nearly become a thing of the past. But there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the coalition of Immokalee workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus' goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
Forget putting on the Ritz. Try putting on the Mandarin Oriental. New York's new Mandarin Oriental 250-room hotel offers a suite with a $12,595 nightly price tag, beating out the Ritz-Carlton by almost $100 as the costliest overnight lodging in the Big Apple. The wood-paneled suite includes high-tech surround sound, an entertainment system, wet bar, office media room, and French marbled foyer floors. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
And we're back with Randy and Cecile on their way to tell everyone about new Prilosec OTC.
Hi, Mom!
Oh, Randy, stop. Well, we'd just like to tell everyone that Prilosec OTC
starts working the very first day. That's one pill a day for 24 hours of zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC.
Randy, what are you doing?
I'm hip. I'm cool. I'm DJ Randy Man.
Oh, dear, is this live?
Ow!
Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds. These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle-classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation. overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg, laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah.
Stop.
A few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live, coast to coast, on America's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. Here on the IE America Radio Network, streaming down from on the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145. And beaming around the planet, 91 countries and counting, listening regularly on radiopower.org, and as well as a signal on the internet at live365.com and ieamericaradio.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. And you can find it all at tomhartman.com, where also you'll find a link to our chat room, where you will find one of the most interesting, erudite, fascinating, and sometimes a little off-color conversations on the Internet. Well, Howard Dean, did you see Howard Dean on Chris Matthews the other day? I think it was Monday. Chris Matthews said, what do you think about all these media monopolies? And Dean was like, I think we ought to break them up. And Matthews says, oh, would you break up Fox News? And Howard Dean says, well, he didn't say philosophically. What's the word he used? I've got it here someplace. Anyhow, he said, he was speaking facetiously, but he said something to the order of ideologically, yes. But then, he clarified and he said, I really don't want to answer the question about whether I'd break up Fox. But he feels that, and the point that he made, I thought it was brilliant, and I'm just saddened by the fact that none of the media picked it up. Because this is... You know how a paradigm, a model, can tell a story in a way that everybody gets it. And Howard Dean, and it's so important that we have these stories in our culture. I mean, the way that we've always transmitted knowledge as human beings is by stories. Metaphor, simile, model, I mean, story, if you can give somebody something that they can visualize or that they can have a sense of, that they can grab hold of, or a story that they can hear, then suddenly the didactic facts, the information associated with it, becomes real. And the remarkable reality, the remarkable truth-telling that Howard Dean engaged in, was that a completely free market, a completely unregulated market, is not a desirable thing, even for those people who are participating in it, with the possible exception of the biggest and the baddest among them. And the metaphor that he used, or the example that he used, was what would happen in a hockey game if there were no rules and no referees? Think about it for a minute.
Business is a game. We say to people, hey, you want to play the game of business? Here's the rules. You're playing in our country. You're using our court system. You're using our currency. You're using our laws, which defined the rules. You're using people who are educated because of our public education system that we paid for. You're having them drive to work on our streets, which we put there. You're communicating with them over telephone systems and using electricity that runs by our public rights of way. And if you want to do that, if you want to play that game and you want to make some money, which, you know, we think is a fine thing, you're going to have to follow some rules. And one of the rules, one of the most important rules that was first articulated by Thomas Jefferson in 1787 in a letter to James Madison, where he said that he wanted a Bill of Rights that clearly and without sophistry said that there should be no monopolies in commerce. He wanted that to be in the Bill of Rights of the United States. And then, you know, in 1880, Senator Sherman submits Senate Bill Number 1, the Sherman Antitrust Act, to make any form of trust or combination illegal. Why? Because when companies reach a certain size, they become not competitive, but anti-competitive. See, there's a difference between competition and war. Competition is something that we all agree is good. Competition is where if I'm competing, for example, with another radio show. Right now I'm competing with Rush Limbaugh, Dennis Prager, Bill O'Reilly, all those guys out there who are in the noon to 2 or noon to 3 slot Eastern time. That's my competition. And there's two ways that I could go about doing business in that environment. One is to compete, which means to produce the very best possible program so that people want to listen to it. To give the best product you can. The other way is to declare war. In war, you try to destroy your enemy. And all too often we have in business people who think that competition is war. And they set out to destroy their competitors, where they're working to undermine somebody else rather than raising themselves. And one of the ways that they declare war is by trying to control the marketplace so that the competitor can't play on a level playing field. You know, it's one of the old tactics of war. You try and back the enemy into a canyon or into a corner, and then, boom, attack. And what we've agreed on for, you know, 200 years, more or less, up until Ronald Reagan, basically, was that war was not an appropriate tactic for business. War is not the appropriate metaphor for business. Sports is. Sports is a great metaphor for business. Everybody understands there are absolutely inflexible rules. You get 3 balls and that's it. Or 4 balls, rather. 3 strikes and that's it. Here's the rules. So anyhow, speaking of, and Howard Dean says, you know, these media monopolies, they're breaking the rules. It's not right. And the reason it's not right is because it's not good for democracy. It's not in the best interests of we the people. And that's the purpose of government, is to look out for we the people, to defend the interests of we the people. Because the government is, in a constitutionally limited representative democracy, is we the people. So, steelmakers are very concerned about dropping the tariffs here. Steelmakers say dropping tariffs can hurt industry. The recovering domestic steel industry could stumble and trade policy be weakened if President Bush's expected drops tariffs on imported steel goods, steelmakers said. This from yesterday's Wall Street Journal. You know what's going to happen is he's going to declare victory. And yeah, I mean, it's the Vietnam strategy. Declare victory and go home. He's going to say, well, you know, we gave the steel industry the little breathing room that it needs, and everything's fine now, so we can get rid of these tariffs. Well, what does the chief executive of U.S. Steel Corporation and Nucor Corporation, the two largest steel companies in America, say about that? They say elimination of the tariffs would add uncertainty to a steel industry still recovering from a sharp downturn. They also said dropping the tariffs would show the U.S. is unwilling to take tough stances to protect domestic industries from foreign competition. Here's a quote from Thomas J. Usher, the CEO of and president of U.S. Steel. To remove these tariffs and to buckle under the Europeans would be a mistake. Now, of course, he is trying to defend his own industry. And the fact of the matter is that we have signed these multilateral treaties, the World Trade, GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, that led to the World Trade Organization, that basically said you can't protect your domestic industries. Sorry, you can't do it anymore. Everything has to be done in the best interests of multinational corporations. You can't do things in the best interests of your citizens, your nation, or your businesses in your country that are limited to your country. You have to do things that are in the best interest of multinational corporations. Here's the conservative agenda. Cheap labor, corporate control. And so as long as, I mean, it's a conundrum, as long as we remain in the treaty, we are, in fact, by putting these tariffs up, violating the law. And the consequences have been substantial. I mean, the whole thing melting down in what do you call it, in Cancun, you know, with the trade talks in Cancun just falling apart, a large part of that was because these countries down there are saying, now, let me get this straight. The United States is continuing to protect its domestic agricultural industry. It's continuing to subsidize its corn and sugar growers. It's putting up restrictive tariffs to protect its steel industry. And it wants us to sign a contract, a treaty, that says that we can never take any actions to protect our own domestic industries, and we cannot subsidize or support our domestic industries. What's wrong with this picture? And that was, you know, that's essentially the key to what caused the whole thing to fall apart. I mean, that's where it disintegrated. But it goes beyond that. I mean, there's really a larger issue here. And that has to do with what this administration and what the philosophy, the con philosophy of this administration is doing to the future of the United States. Yesterday's Wall Street Journal, a fascinating column, political capital column by Alan Murray. Bush seems to lack the will to shift course to correct a deficit. He says he compares Bush. He says a lot of people are comparing Bush to the Reagans. You know, he starts out talking about the Reagans, the movie on CBS, Showtime. And he says, what's missing from President Bush's Reagan Act is the ability to admit mistakes with grace and to make mid-course corrections without sacrificing principles. Now, keep in mind, this is in the major conservative organ, the Wall Street Journal. For President Reagan, the biggest mid-course correction on economic policy began just weeks after he celebrated passage of his tax cut in August of 1981. Notice the tax cut was singular. That was his only tax cut, 1981. With new budget projections showing deficits headed into unexpected territory, the White House began that September to work on a package of tax increases and spending cuts to stem the red ink. The result was a $100 billion tax increase combined with modest cuts in government entitlement programs, which passed Congress in the summer of 1982, with a lot of people screaming about the fact that it was the largest tax increase in history up to that point. That was followed by an effort to bolster the financing of Social Security, another tax increase, by boosting payroll taxes. He says neither law did much for Ronald Reagan's popularity, but both showed he was able and willing to push through tough measures when the circumstances demanded them. Now, however, according to Goldman Sachs, quote, the U.S. budget is out of control. The sharp shift from surplus to deficit in recent years is by far the biggest setback in 50 years, and it isn't over, end quote. And they go on to say, any thought of relief is a pipe dream until political priorities adjust. This, and so, they say, a better analogy is to compare Bush to Nixon. I'll share that with you after we get back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con in conservatives. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wish I could watch some TV, if only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who had more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on with the dreamer.
Welcome back. It's the pill that will help you escape the matrix. The Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. And this is he. I am Tom Hartman, and I am so pleased that you are here with me on the program today. And we've got a chat room that's full of folks with fascinating conversation. After the bottom of the hour, if you'd like to give me a call, I'd be glad to get into it with you. There is some information here, though, that I just want to get out. This article in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, I thought it was fascinating. Political Capital by Alan Murray. Bush seems to lack the will to shift course to correct a deficit. And he says everybody's comparing Bush to Reagan. But Reagan had one tax cut followed by six consecutive years of tax increases. He says, however, so he says, you know, it's Bush really doesn't compare to Reagan. He says, instead, increasingly, President Bush resembles not Ronald Reagan, but another GOP forebear, Richard Nixon. At the end of his first term, Mr. Nixon brushed aside concerns about swelling deficit and an explosion in government spending. Remember the Vietnam War and everything? And pushed through Congress a $30 billion program of, quote, revenue sharing, end quote, with states and cities. And, of course, we all know the result of that. You know, Nixon did what Bush is doing, only he did it on a very small scale compared to what Bush is doing. And the result was an explosion, an absolute explosion in inflation and unemployment. It was a disaster. So the conclusion here is that Presidents Nixon and Bush, now this is really an interesting observation. They're suggesting in this column in the Wall Street Journal that Bush may be the end, that Bush's policies are so irresponsible. That's my term. I mean, they're not calling him that. But that his policies are so whatever they are that it could be the end of a Republican era, that it began with Nixon and it's going to end with Bush. Because people are just not going to take it. They're not going to take their country being economically ruined by George Bush the way that Richard Nixon did it. This column says, Presidents Nixon and Bush may turn out to be the bookends of the conservative era. He points out that Nixon governed at the end of a liberal era, and Bush governs at what may prove to be the end of a conservative era. And then the last paragraph, Alan Murray is brilliant. He's also the co-host of Capital Report on CNBC. He says, it is also possible that what really links Presidents Bush and Nixon is something else, an unbounded desire for a second term, even at the expense of taxpayers. Continuing to cut taxes and increase government spending in the face of runaway budget deficits is not a good way to run the country, but it may still be a great way to win elections. Which is what I have been saying on this program all year, is that if you reach out into the future and borrow $4 or $5 trillion, now so far it's only been about $3 trillion, $2.5 trillion, but it's going to balloon into $4 or $5 trillion. If you reach out into the future and borrow a few trillion dollars from the next generation, from the people who are from children up until their 30s, who are going to be in the workforce over the next 30 years. If you reach out into the hands of the next generation and you take from them, you borrow in their name, you're not borrowing it from them yet, but they are going to have to pay it back because you're borrowing it in their name, trillions of dollars, and you dump it into the economy by giving it to defense contractors and Boeing and Halliburton and Bechtel and, you know, building bombs and dropping them on Iraq and blah, blah, blah. And if you do that successfully and also taking a big chunk of that money and handing it to the most wealthy among Americans, you will create a short-term economic boom. It'll last a year or two, and then we are doomed. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wish I could watch some TV, if only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune in to tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Oh man, look at my life. 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of two. Love lost, such a cost. Gives me things that don't get lost. Like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
And welcome back. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars. Okay, one of the folks in our chat room asked the question. Okay, who are we borrowing this? How are we borrowing this money? Let me lay this out for you. Before I do that, though, we got Gizmo on the line, and he's driving through Tennessee. I want to take the call. Hey, Gizmo, thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, you are on the air.
I hope you can hear me because my signal keeps fading in now, Tom.
Yeah, well, it sounds fine now. What's
okay,
up?
Well, I need help to win the truck stop wars instead of the water cooler wars.
Okay, the truck stop wars. Good one.
Anyway, look, what I like about your show, and I'm not calling you up just to pat you on the back, Tom. What I like about your show is, the topics you bring up are good and decent, but they also make you think. They make you think about solutions and problems and other ways that you may not, even though it might be off topic. And what I was thinking by listening to you in the last hour and a half here is it occurs to me that the problem here with America, with everybody voting for Democrat, Republican, Green, whatever it is that the liberals don't trust the conservatives, and the conservatives don't trust the liberals. And I'm not saying that all conservatives are corrupt and evil, and neither are all liberals, you know, angels and wanting to do right by everybody. But what I was thinking is what we need is some kind of entity, and not the Justice Department, because they're all patty, back-slapping buddies with all the politicians. We need some kind of law enforcement office that is commissioned just to police our governmental agencies on a state and federal level, and someone that is beyond what we consider being corrupted by the system. You know, they would be, you know, probably have to be a lifetime appointment, and probably nominated by maybe the governors of all the states.
Mm-hmm.
Something along that effect, where we know that if allegations are leveled against even a president or an attorney general of the United States, that we know there's an office above them that can investigate possible corruptions and bring charges, and even maybe bring a sitting president to justice if he is corrupted during his time as office, but when he's ousted or...
Gizmo, let me just interrupt you there. The mechanism that you're describing already exists. The United States Constitution defines it, and it says basically that Congress can impeach any federal official, a federal judge, another member of Congress, the Senate, or the President.
Tom, all the congressmen have slapped each other's back for many years. They're just big, you know. There's a big stamp on their forehead, good old boys club on each of them.
I understand that, but I still think that it's best that power remain with Congress, because Congress is the only body that's answerable to you and me. If another federal bureaucracy was to be created that was not answerable to you and me, and they had the power to bring down other people within the government, you could be setting up a tyranny, a dictatorship within the government that everybody else in the government would be afraid of, and that would not be answerable to you and me. And I think that could be very dangerous.
I'm not saying that. I mean, I applaud your motives. I understand where you're coming from, and I'm not saying it is not without flaws that don't have to be worked out. But all I am saying right now is that we have got a system set up where nobody's going to prosecute anybody, nobody's going to bring anyone to justice that is in our system that they owe favors to, or will owe favors to, or need favors from. And we've got it set up right now where you wash my back, I wash your back, and I'm not going to hurt you if you don't hurt me. We got to get out of that system.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you, Gizmo. Thanks for the call, and thanks for sharing that. And in my opinion, frankly, the mechanism, you know, certainly there have been laws like the Sherman Antitrust Act in the past that we need to go back to enforcing. You know, Reagan set this thing aside. Clinton never really picked it back up again. I mean, Jimmy Carter was out there. Look at, he busted up AT&T. He was aggressively enforcing the Sherman Antitrust Act. Reagan said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to have government of, by, and for the multinational corporations. And it was a huge mistake, and it's harmed American democracy ever since. But and so there are mechanisms to do that, but I am very wary of giving a lot of power to any government agency that is not elected, that is not directly responsive to you and me. As corrupt as they are right now, corrupted by corporate power, we have to change that, and we change that at the grassroots level by you and me saying, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. The Greens are working on this very aggressively to build a grassroots organization, and you know, hopefully they won't run Ralph Nader this year. I just want to say it. I think it'll be a disaster. But that's another thing in the news today. Ralph Nader just formed a committee to explore, an exploratory committee to look into his presidential gig here. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Joe in New Jersey's on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. Yeah, it was just your comments about business being a game that has rules and referees, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
When people talk about something being a game, it always brings to mind two aphorisms that I grew up hearing. One is, you know, it's not whether you win or lose, but how you play the game.
Right.
But the other one is, of course, you know, winning isn't the most important thing. It's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
And of those two aphorisms, I hardly ever hear the former being said that much anymore.
Yeah, the former is the aphorism of sport, and the second and the latter is the aphorism of war. That was the distinction that I was making.
Yeah, and, you know, you hear people on pulpits and, you know, whatever, talking about the Vince Lombardi quote, but I don't hear the other one that much anymore.
Yeah.
Another thing is just the yesterday's paper, one of the headlines in the New York paper was, you know, crime, you know, way down from last year. And I think they can only make that claim because they don't count white-collar crime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and that's been a problem with the FBI statistics forever. I mean, that they yeah, you're absolutely right.
So people see in the paper, crime, you know, crime is way down, and so they think the country
fewer people are fewer people are getting mugged. But the reality is that more money is lost, more lives are ruined by white collar crime than by violent crime in the United States. I mean, you could arguably say that murder has a huge consequence to it, and I would agree with that. But I don't know of anybody who's quantified it for purposes of comparison. So we just don't know.
Yeah, making the connection with the aphorisms, though, it's almost as if, you know, people don't look on that on the white collar crime as a lot of people don't look on that as being in the same class as, you know.
Well, the FBI certainly doesn't. It's not included in the annual FBI crime statistics, and that's a huge mistake. Joe, thanks for the call.
Okay.
I appreciate that. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut is on the line. Hey, Tim, welcome to the program.
You know, Tom, it's interesting that you and Pat Buchanan would agree about Bush's spending policy and the comparison to Nixon, because he made that very point this morning on a talk show I was listening to.
Oh, he probably read the same article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal.
Probably so, although he was there with Nixon, of course, during that period of time. And yeah. I think that, you know, it's quite obvious that Bush is going to do whatever is necessary in order to get elected. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm seeing, you know, the Democratic candidates almost being a disaster and being another McGovern error, because the economy is starting to pick up, although, you know, with the 600 radio stations that you know who's on and everything else on a continuous basis, people are going to feel optimistic about the economy and things, quote, getting better out there and stuff. So,
well, things are getting better, Tim.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the credit card effect. You,
sure.
You borrow a bunch of money, you dump it into the economy. Suddenly the economy looks like it's got a lot of money in it, because it does. And people think, hey, you know, the Bush brought us prosperity. Let's give him another 4 years.
And they brought about a drug, you know, drug bill. That'll definitely get a lot of senior votes out there. And you've got, you know, groups like AARP out there. And I think the Democratic message of the anti-war is muddled at best. It's, you know, we support the troops, but, you know, Dean is saying bring in more troops in a convoluted way. So please convince me that this is not, you know, the Democrats are not Mondale or McGovern. I just can't literally see it with the, you know, with Bush's approval rating being very, very high. Now, it's one thing to be anti-Bush, which I consider myself to be, but it's another thing to read the political tea leaves.
Yeah. Did you see the interview with Howard Dean on Monday with Chris Matthews?
I'm afraid I did.
And you were not impressed?
No, I'm really not. You know, the man just doesn't have, you know, the fire in him or the charisma. I think he was, you know, first off, I think he really was playing a lot to the Harvard audience, which is a tremendous mistake. Coming from Oklahoma originally, now, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, they may look for an alternative, but, you know, that Northeast liberal tag, if you will, is a very hard one to get off, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
I think, you know, it's probably going to be, unfortunately, you know, some more dirt on Howard out there right now. And anybody else even, you know, coming close to, you know, Gephardt or anybody else actually even really seriously competing? Haven't the the crown essentially been labeled on Dean as the nominee?
Well, it's hard to say. I think Gephardt could still give him a running for his money, and there's an outside chance of Clark and Lieberman, but I consider it extremely remote. And frankly, in my personal opinion, right, is that Dean's the only one who's got the fire to really take on Bush, and whether he can successfully take on Bush or not is going to be a real challenge to him. When you look at the history, every incumbent president who has not been challenged in the primaries when he runs for re-election has won, and every incumbent president who has been challenged in the primaries when he runs has lost. And Bush is not being challenged in the primaries, and that gives him this huge, huge advantage.
Oh yeah,
but time will tell.
The money and stuff. So that's why, you know, your comments about, you know, the Greens not running any candidate, whether it be David Cobb or Nader. I mean, you know, it's turning to me is that I think the Democrats are just going to, you know, go down in flames and unfortunately not compete even on the level that Gore did. I'm just seeing a tremendous, you know, possibility of a landslide.
Time will tell. Time will tell, Tim. We'll see what happens. You know, thanks for calling and sharing that with us. I got to move along. I got Greg in Santa Fe here on the line. In fact, Greg in Santa Fe, welcome to the program. This is Tom Hartman. You're on the air, and it's, 15 minutes before the hour.
Hello?
Greg? Yeah, hey, what's up?
This is going to take a little bit to develop, but in lieu of Nader announcing or putting together a committee to advise him to run again, and in lieu of what happened in California for their recall, I was thinking maybe it would, if the Democrats could find a figurehead, because essentially the president in this day and age is a figurehead and only makes decisions.
I don't get what you're talking about, Greg. What's the point?
Okay, the point is, why don't they get someone who is publicly recognizable, George Clooney or Tom Cruise or somebody like that, and he could come out well before the election and say, if you elect me, this is the package that you get.
You're talking about doing a Schwarzenegger, getting a star to run. I mean, that's what Wes Clark was. That was the Wesley Clark strategy, Greg.
Right. And then he come out well ahead of the election and say, okay, if you like Howard Dean, he is going to be my Secretary of Health. If you like Dennis Kucinich, he's going to be the Secretary of Labor. Wesley Clark will be Secretary of Defense. Give them the package. Let people know what they're going to get.
Yeah. Well, it's an idea, Greg. Thanks for calling and sharing that. And it's not necessarily a bad idea. It's just never, to the best of my knowledge, hasn't been done since the turn of the 18th century. And of course, the way that decisions were about who was what were made back then were a little different. You know, the person who got the second most votes became the vice president, and so on down the line. But I don't know. I really think that America, you know, in England they have a head of government and a head of state, and they are two different people. The head of government is the prime minister, and is elected by parliament. And so whatever party has the majority in parliament or can pull together a coalition to establish a majority in parliament is able to put forward their guy as prime minister. And they don't vote for Tony Blair. They vote for the parties. And if his party gets the most votes, then he gets to be prime minister. He's the head of government. The head of state in Great Britain is the Queen. And so in the United States, we have a person who is both the head of government, the president, and the head of state, the president. So in England, if it's a state function, then they trot out the queen, right? She's the one who represents the state. If it's a government function, well, let's negotiate a trade deal, they trot out Tony Blair. He's the head of the government. We have both, and I think because we have both, and it was a unique thing. Well, actually, it was not all that unique in 1776 because since, you know, you could say prior to Oliver Cromwell and the Glorious Revolution, England's kings and queens were always both heads of state and heads of government. And then Cromwell comes along, and then you get Parliament, and then the reform of Parliament in 1832. And so you could say that's when the split happened, I'd say, with Cromwell. Some British historian, I'm sure, will come up and correct me on this, but I think, and this is pretty solid, but I think that people want both. And so the point of all of this whole rant is that I think the people in America want to vote for one person who represents both positions. David in Santa Fe, hang on the line. I'll pick up your call on the other side of this break. And then as we go into the next hour, I want to get into this thing about the euro and the dollar crashing. And what does this mean? I mean, what's the significance of this? Because it's going to have huge significance on you and me and what our savings are like and what our jobs are like in the coming times. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
Tom Hartman Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was man. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want.
But if you try sometime,
you might find.
You get what you need, yes, indeed, and maybe we will in 2004. David in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, David.
You were just talking about politics in England and the piece you missed, and I think this is what the previous caller was getting at, is you have a leader of the loyal opposition, which is the leader of the party that is not in power.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have the president leading the party, the president in power. We don't have a leader, clearly, of the other party right now, the Democrats.
Well, that should be Tom Daschle.
Yeah, but he's not put across to the country as the leader and the replacement for Bush.
Well, I think he is to a large extent.
Pardon?
He's not a potential replacement because we don't have a parliamentary system. But I think that he's put across, well, okay, yeah, I get your point.
You know, even when Clinton was in power, the same thing. There wasn't a known leader of the Republicans. I think that's a problem in the system that we have politically here.
Yeah.
The party, without the president, doesn't have a figure, and I think that's what the gentleman was trying to talk about just now.
Yeah, and there's not somebody to rally around and somebody who...
Exactly.
You know, and on the other hand, maybe that's a good thing, because that might you not then have a system that devolves into a cult of personality and demagoguery.
Well, don't we have that anyway?
Well, we do to some extent, but if you...
There's only one at any given time rather than one for each side.
Yeah, you're right. We do need one for each side. And I'm not sure how to bring it about, but you make an excellent point, David. Thank you for calling and sharing that with me. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Democracy Zone.
Listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
See the look
on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A massive U.S. raid in a northern Iraq village led to the arrest of 34 people and the confiscation of dozens of guns, the American military said Wednesday. Residents accused soldiers of excessive force. On Tuesday, a U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside explosion in Samarra. His death brought to 441 the number of U.S. servicemen who have died in Iraq since the start of the war on March 20th. In Baghdad, relatives of U.S. troops visiting Iraq pressed their agenda to meet with leaders of the coalition authority, hoping to voice opposition to the U.S.-led occupation. They will also visit hospitals, schools, and U.S. military bases as part of the trip. A prominent cleric joined Iraq's top Shiite Muslim religious leader in demanding that a proposed transitional legislature be elected directly, throwing another obstacle in the path of a U.S.-sponsored political plan for Iraq. Grand Ayatollah Muhammad Taqi al-Modarresi, a respected Shiite cleric based in the holy city of Karbala, said Tuesday that the legislature should be elected and warned that ignoring popular participation in the political process would have grave consequences. In this age of mega corporate media ownership, community radio has nearly become a thing of the past. But there is an alternative in low-power FM broadcasting, and the group spearheading the LPFM movement goes by the name of Prometheus Radio. After helping to start LPFM stations in Washington State, California, Maryland, and Cancun, Mexico, Prometheus is undertaking an LPFM barn raising this week for the coalition of Immokalee workers in Immokalee, Florida. By building low-power stations across the country, Prometheus' goal is to turn broadcasting back to the community-based enterprise it used to be before the FCC changed station ownership rules and turned the public airwaves over to the corporations. For more information on LPFM radio, visit www.prometheusradio.org. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A Frenchman who burned his life savings to a cinder before swallowing two bottles of pills is facing life with an empty bank account after neighbors foiled his suicide attempt. The man who lived alone had cleared out his bank balance of 240,000 euros and set fire to the pile of 500 euro notes in his bath before swallowing the pills, hoping to leave nothing behind after his death. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief, or symptoms that interrupt your day. Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
The corporate circus is back in town, this time with a whole new parade of bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders to entertain us with their convoluted antics. Instead of such convoluters as Enron and WorldCom, the latest clowns are from the mutual fund industry, including such widely promoted names as Fidelity, Janus, Vanguard, and Morgan Stanley. Despite the new cast of names, the shtick is the same. Those running the funds have been soaking us little investors while engaging in insider trading to line their own pockets and to give preferential treatment to wealthy investors. As New York Attorney General Elliot Spitzer says of today's mutual fund industry, it's a cesspool. That's most unfortunate since half of America's households, 95 million of us, have our 401ks, pension plans, and other savings accounts tied up in these funds. These companies had advertised that they were the safest place for us middle-classers to stash our nest eggs. But now, even the Republican chairman of the Senate subcommittee overseeing this industry says it is the world's largest skimming operation, overcharging us by some $10 billion a year and endangering our savings. More and more of these mutual funds have been taken over by such huge financial conglomerates as Bank of America, Bank One, and Chase. And these high rollers have used their corrupting campaign donations and lobbying clout to ram a deregulation agenda through Washington that has taken the watchdogs away and turned the wolves loose on us. Whenever the dereg laissez-faire ideologues howl so loudly to get the government off the back of corporations, it's to allow messes like this to develop, where the bilkers, finaglers, and defrauders are free to devour us. This is Jim Hightower saying, remember, these same ideologues have been howling that we should let them privatize Social Security. And where have they been saying we should put our Social Security money? In these very same mutual fund companies.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show in what the government describes as a bizarre coincidence. This is an AP story by John J. Lumpkin back around November 18, as I recall. In what the government describes as a bizarre coincidence, one U.S. intelligence agency was planning an exercise on 9/11, September 11, 01, in which an errant aircraft would crash into one of its buildings. This was the National Reconnaissance Office, the agency that operates the nation's spy satellites. On the morning of 9/11, they had scheduled an exercise in which a small corporate jet would crash into one of the four towers at the agency's headquarter buildings after experiencing a mechanical failure. The agency's 4 miles from the runways of Dulles International Airport. Here's the irony. Adding to the coincidence, American Airlines Flight 77, the Boeing 767 that was hijacked and crashed into the Pentagon, took off from Dulles at 8:10 a.m. on 9/11, 50 minutes before the exercise involving a plane taking off from Dulles and crashing into their building was to begin. As my friend Lamar would say, coincidence or conspiracy? I'm willing to assume it's a coincidence. This is not quite that weird, but it's certainly one of those ones that raises your eyebrows. What is going on? Well, he did it to Medicare. And next on the list is Social Security. Those of you who heard the Jim Hightower piece that came on just before I did, I know that not all our stations carry those. He was talking about how the mutual fund industry has become a, to quote one industry insider, a multi-billion dollar a year skimming operation. I mean, there are people building family dynasties, hundreds of millions of dollars, skimming money. And they're arguing, I mean, you read the Wall Street Journal, they're arguing that it's legal. Skimming money by timing trades and all this kind of stuff out of our mutual funds. Well, the unfortunate reality is that that industry, this Wall Street banking brokerage industry, has mind-boggling amounts of money. After all, they've skimmed it from you and me. And with those mind-boggling amounts of money, they are able to buy mind-boggling numbers of politicians. You think it's a coincidence that in the last 2 years, the lead donors to Republican causes, Republican parties and whatnot, have changed from being the oil industry, which it was before we went into Iraq and Afghanistan? Well, now they've got what they want. And they're not giving so much cash anymore, although they're still pumping it in there. They thought they had that energy bill in the bag. But now the major donors, we're talking big bucks here. I mean, big hundreds of millions of dollars. The major donors to the Republicans now are the financial services industry, banks and brokerage houses. Now, why would banks and brokerage houses be investing millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in giveaways, right, to politicians? Here, have this money. Politician can't give the money back. It's not like, you know, well, we're going to invest this money and we're expecting a 3% return. Well, you know, they're businesses. Businesses are required by law to do things that will return, that will produce a return on their investments. I mean, it's a very simple thing. The Supreme Court has even ruled on this. And so if they're going to give a couple hundred million dollars to the Republican Party, they have to be expecting something in return. The rules of normal rational sanity and the rules of business require it. So what is it that the banks are getting back? Well, there was a big burst of bank donations to politicians and lobbying back when they wanted to change the bankruptcy laws, so that it was harder for people to declare bankruptcy and start over again, that even if you get wiped out by a member of your family getting cancer and your health insurance company doesn't come through or has all kinds of deductibles and gotchas and gimmicks, as they all seem to have, or God forbid, you're uninsured and you can't afford to pay the bills and it goes, and you go down in flames and you need to start over. This is the result of this is what produces half of all bankruptcies in America, by the way, medical bills. And you get wiped out. Well, the banks wanted to be sure that they could keep a little steel jaw trap on your leg even after bankruptcy. And they got that. In the first year of Bush's administration, they passed their bankruptcy reform law, remember? And now it's a much more painful experience. And even when you come through it, there's still a few, you know, the banks are still there, chewing on your ankle. Ah, we got you. We got you by the pant leg here. We're not going to let go of you. You thought you were free. No, you're wrong. We got you. So they were, of course, investing in that. But what are they investing in now? Why are they suddenly giving all this money to the Republicans? Do you think it could have something to do with $170 billion that is going to be distributed this year alone to 46 million elderly and disabled Americans? Do you think maybe they'd like to have their hands on the trillions of dollars out of which that $470 billion that will be paid out this year is coming? Do you think that they'd like to maybe put a few fees, service fees and transaction fees on that $470 billion that the Social Security Administration is going to pay out to Social Security recipients this year? Do you think that might have something to do with it? Well, all you have to do is look at the Los Angeles Times' article on November 30th by Edwin Chen, Bush now directing attention to revamping Social Security. Here's the first paragraph. President Bush is completing plans to campaign next year for a restructuring of Social Security, a potentially divisive drive that he believes is a winning issue for Republicans and his own legacy. Yep, the fat cats on Wall Street, the true Republicans, are going to love this. They're going to give him so much money, he'll be able to carpet bomb America in 2004 with advertising and maybe even win the presidency again. They make the note, and the sense of anxiety over Social Security is mounting as the day of the program's inability to pay promised benefits, now estimated to occur in 2039, draws closer. Well, it is true that sometime in the next 10 or 15 years, something's going to have to be done. I mean, when Social Security started, it was a 2% tax on payroll. It was back in 1935. And they have, over the years, as fewer people are working and more people are drawing benefits, and there's a natural cycle to that, by the way. I don't know if you know this, but there are cycles to population growth. And, you know, in some ways they have to do with wars and things. You know, there was this big boom after World War II. There weren't so many babies born during World War II because all the guys were over in Europe fighting or in Japan. But there is a cycle. There are cycles that go just beyond the wars. Just these, a multi-generational bubble just tends to produce a period of diminished population and then another bubble. And so you see these whoop, 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 whoop as you look down in history at population cycles and employment cycles. So we've had to recalibrate this thing a few times. So the Social Security tax has grown from 2% to 12%. And given the number of baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964... sometime in the next 15 years or so, if we want everything to just work the same forever, not have to mess with it anymore, that tax will have to go up to 18%, more or less. I mean, that's the estimate. And Edward Kennedy, when he was unsuccessful in stopping the Medicare bill, his comment was, "Hold on to your hat. Today, Medicare, tomorrow, Social Security." And it turns out, sure enough, you heard it here first. Next year, this is going to be one of the things that George Bush thinks is going to get him the election. He's going to save Social Security by killing it off, just like he's doing with Medicare. Killing off the government program and putting it in the hands of the bankers in Wall Street. Yeah, they're good at skimming money, but, you know, maybe they can make a little money with the investments, and maybe that'll help the economy. And Social Security was never intended to be a retirement investment. Social Security is an insurance system, a social insurance system, for people who fall through the cracks, for people who are retired, or for people who are disabled. There are a lot of people in their 20s and 30s who are drawing Social Security because a friend of mine broke his neck. And Social Security is paying his bills. Now, doing it very not particularly well. I was going to say very poorly, but you know, he's alive and well, and his basic expenses are being covered. Nobody is suggesting Social Security is or even necessarily should be generous. But we need to keep it out of the hands of these, you know, I started to say these greedy folks in Wall Street. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, I mean, you know, people are people. You give somebody $1 billion and they may figure out a way to carve a little piece of that off for themselves. It's like, you know, it's got a bunch of hungry people and you walk them by a buffet and somebody's going to reach out and pick up an olive and pop it in their mouths. And, of course, the same thing is, you know, I mean, it's just, this is just a setup. The same thing happening with Social Security. Want to get into America's debt here and also the situation with oil. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. This is fascinating. Who is George Bush borrowing this money from, and what will it mean to you and me and our children? We'll talk about that right after this break. Stay tuned.
Wish I could watch some TV. If only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes,
sir, Inspector.
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
People get ready. There's a train coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to release who's a home. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord, yeah.
And welcome back to the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Why America's Debt is a Risky Foreign Affair. An interesting article in the Christian Science Monitor by David Francis yesterday. He starts it out, in the throes of the Great Depression, Franklin Roosevelt tried to pump up the economy with deficit spending. He also used a memorable phrase to sell the idea to a wary nation. After all, Franklin said, we owe it to ourselves. In other words, what happened during the Depression was the government issued debt instruments, treasury bonds and bills and savings bonds and things, and people bought them. People like you and me. I mean, Americans bought them. In fact, during the war, there was a whole big movement to buy them. The tail end of this was, I remember when I was in school, when I was young in school. I mean, I'm talking second, third, fourth, fifth grade. They had quit this, as I recall, by the time I got to high school, which was in the late 60s, the mid-60s, that when I was in school, that they brought these cards in that you'd put dimes in and quarters in. And when you filled them up, you know, from your allowance or your paper route money or whatever, you filled them up, you'd bring them in, and you could buy savings bonds with them. And we all understood that by buying a savings bond, what we were doing was we were loaning money to our government so it could fight the war against the communists who were, you know, threatening to drop nuclear weapons on us, and so that we could make the world a safer place and we could take care of the needs of people and all these kinds of, you know, do the good stuff that we thought needed to be done. And Roosevelt said, hey, we have to go into a period of deficit spending here because the government just doesn't have, the private economy just does not have the cash to provide everybody with a job. And so the government is going to have to become the employer of last resort. And they created the Works Projects Administration, the WPA, and several other of these alphabet agencies that put people to work, building bridges and planting forests and even some of them in the arts, you know, painting murals and things. The Detroit Art Institute has a great collection of art from the Great Depression, from the WPA era. And some remarkable stuff was done. As I recall, John Steinbeck was one of the artists, a writer, who received a grant during the Depression. Now, I may be wrong on that, but that's my recollection. I know that there were a number of famous writers who received those grants and who produced some really remarkable work. But in any case, Roosevelt was saying, you know, we don't have to worry so much because we're borrowing the money from ourselves. Well, now George Bush comes along and he says, well, let's borrow a few trillion dollars. Not a few hundred million like Roosevelt did, but a few trillion. A trillion is a million billion, or a billion million, or a thousand million. Anyhow, let's borrow trillions of dollars, and let's borrow it from China and Japan and Taiwan. As of June, according to the Christian Science Monitor, foreign central banks and other governmental institutions, plus foreign private investors, owned $1.35 trillion of U.S. treasuries, $1 trillion in U.S. treasuries, or some 37.6% of the total. What we are doing is we are laying our heads on the chopping block. We are saying, here's our throat, here's the knife, you guys please be kind to us. Because if any of these countries, if China was to decide that they're not happy with us, if any of these countries were to decide to just start dumping our treasuries big time, and there's four or five countries that own enough of them, they could bring us to our knees in a week economically. They could wreak absolute havoc. And George Bush's solution? Let's sell them some more debt. Let's go deeper in debt to them. Because we can then take that money and we can give it to rich people in America and they'll give me more campaign contributions. We've got to do something about this, folks. This is Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wish I could watch some TV. If only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Got to go back. We got to go back. Got to go back. Got to go back. For the healing. Go on.
today from Thomas Jefferson. By a Declaration of Rights, he said, "By a Declaration of Rights, I mean one which shall stipulate freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of commerce against monopolies, trial by juries in all cases, no suspension of the habeas corpus, no standing armies. These are fetters against doing evil which no honest government should decline." End of quote. Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States and author of the Declaration of Independence, as well as a signer of it as well, of course. Here we have this situation, $189 billion. Now, consider this. A group got together, the Committee for Economic Development, the Concord Coalition, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities. And these, you know, right across the board, they lean center to right, to conservative. And they estimate that George Bush's current policies are going to produce a $9 trillion federal debt by 2013, which is not that far away, 10 years from now, with $473 billion in interest payments that you and I are going to have to pay on that debt that year. If 40% of the debt was owned by foreigners, which is the trend, the U.S. would be shipping abroad some $189 billion in interest payments that year. That would not retire a penny of the debt. That's just interest. As Richard Kogan, a budget expert at the CBPP, says, at some point, things collapse. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And David in Victorville, California, is on the line. Hey, David, are you out buying gold to try and hedge against this?
Liberty dollars. Go to www.norfed.com. Yeah, you know what? I appreciate that you bring up this subject because honestly, if you ask me, it's the single least known issue in this country, and yet it's probably if more of the American public knew how their money was created and what a desperate situation as a nation we really are in, I think there would be more people that would call for an end to the Federal Reserve, and I think there would be more people that would call for us to be back on the gold standard to prevent.
Yeah, well, let me just put myself on record here. Put myself here on record, David. I'm not calling for an end to the Federal Reserve or to go back on the gold standard. Although I'm not saying that either of those things would necessarily be terrible, but I am calling for at least a balanced budget and fiscal responsibility in Washington D.C.
You know, the thing is we had that. You know, the interesting thing is the counterbalance between the allegedly conservative. We know they're not conservative now. The allegedly conservative House and the allegedly liberal president at the time, President Clinton, the counterbalance between the two was a marriage made in heaven for most Americans, in a sense that the budget deficits were low and if not balanced. Now you have a Republican conservative legislature and a Republican allegedly conservative. The devil himself is not as conservative as George Bush, allegedly. But
I would say he is, David. The conservative agenda here is about handing the power of American government, which is supposed to be a force of we the people. It's supposed to be the instrument of we the people, handing the power of American government over to corporations. And one of the most effective ways to do that, and that's why Grover Norquist is out there saying, you know, we don't want to destroy government, we just want to shrink it down to the point where we can drown it in the bathtub. One of the most effective ways to do that is to cut off its oxygen, to starve it to death.
Which is funny.
And if you run it into such desperate debt that there is no, I mean, look at what Arnold Schwarzenegger is having to do in California right now. He's cutting out all these programs, and it's because the debt is there. I mean, you've got to deal with it. You can do one of two things. You can raise taxes, you can cut programs.
Or you can print money.
Yeah.
And that's right. What's going to happen when China and the Asian countries call their debt on us and start cashing their securities in.
We'll have no choice. I mean, it'll be like Germany in 1928.
We'll have no choice. And exactly. And you know what? It's the single thing that will cause our government to fall, and it's the single thing that will cause our nation I don't think it will destroy our nation, though.
I don't think so either. But I think it's going to cause a lot of pain and suffering. David,
you know,
I got to move on.
Okay,
one last point. I got a couple of other callers here. Your last point? No, you went. Okay. That's fine. Thanks, David. I appreciate your call. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mike in Santa Fe has been patiently waiting on the line. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I mean, pain and suffering, you just brought it up. The only way that the American people, I think, are going to be able to try to minimize or, try to hedge against, like, a lot of pain and suffering is to make sacrifices now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, and it's the one thing that we just kind of gloss over. And the last president that dared to ask us to make sacrifices was Carter.
Yeah.
None of the Democrats, I don't hear anybody just... the American middle class, American people, we're like Pavlovian dogs.
Well, I'm not sure that sacrifice is necessarily the key to it because, for example, if we were to move to alternative technologies for producing energy, it would create an enormous boom in the United States. You would create an industry that would make the computer industry look small in comparison.
Yeah.
If we just gave some subsidy to that, I think that it's possible for us to accomplish the goals of this nation.
I think we have to make a sacrifice
without killing
in size, though.
Well, ultimately, my belief is that sustainable growth is an oxymoron. We have to figure out what the enough point is for this country and figure out how to operate within
that. We passed that way long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't position that as sacrifice. I don't think that it's sacrifice to live within your means. I think that that's healthy. Sacrifice has this negative connotation attached to it, and it was one of the problems that Carter confronted. Bill Clinton didn't say let's sacrifice, but he produced a balanced budget.
He had the courage to come out and say that.
Yeah.
He said,
that's what we need. I mean, that's what a statesman does.
And tell us, okay, turn your thermostat on. It was, not much, not asking for much.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point, Mike. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Have you noticed what's going on with the euro, by the way? The dollar is crashing against currencies around the world. What's this? Well, this is George Bush's attempt to wiggle out of the fix he's put us into. I'll tell you about it right after this call. JR from Victorville is on the line. Hey, JR, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah, thank you for calling, JR.
I just wanted to, you were talking about political contributions, and are you familiar with the website called Open Secrets?
Yes, I am.
They keep track of it. Do you know what the number one group in the 2002 cycle, because they haven't, finished, they do these in two-year cycles, the number one group that gave the most money to politicians was?
Well, I thought it was the banking industry, but I could be wrong.
Lawyers and law firms, they gave $95 million, $95 million plus in change. Banking industry wasn't even in the top 10. Unless they do have securities and investment, which is not the banking industry.
That is the banking industry.
Well, how much did
securities and investments give?
Please.
How much did securities and investments?
59 million. So lawyers and law firms gave almost twice as much, and they were the number one group. The next second category was a group called retired, and then real estate securities investment came in number four. So
that's interesting. I think that you've got to be looking at different numbers than I'm looking at.
Well, that's why I cited my source, and you can go look there and look in the 2002 election cycle. Go to top industry givers, and you'll see the list.
Right. Okay, I'll check it out, JR. Thanks for the heads up. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It is 17 minutes before the hour. Rob from Newtown, Pennsylvania is on the line. Hey, Rob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. It's Rob from Op-Ed News.
Yes, Op-Ed News, one of the great news sources on the Internet. Thanks for calling, Rob.
I'm calling because you're talking about how we could be solving these problems by creating new alternative fuel sources and things like that. And the problem is the corporations that pull the strings of Puppet George are really not American corporations. I mean, so many of them have established offshore identities so they can avoid taxes. They have no allegiance to this country. And George is now basically beholden to foreign organizations. And what's really interesting, Tom, is we've had some conversations about the need for progressive think tanks and how they would have to only take U.S. contributions.
Right.
So most of what George gets his money from are corporate contributions from these big mega corporations that really aren't even American anymore.
They're multinational by definition. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I
and their loyalty is to profit, not to the success of American democracy.
Well, he's a traitor. He's a traitor to this company. He's country. He's sold out to corporations. And I think there are buzzwords that may upset the echo chamber on the right. One of them we discovered the other day. We did a piece on Bush as a coward, the way he handled going on that trip to Iraq, and the way he handled running away from 9/11. Boy, that's a buzzword. Bush is a coward. He runs.
Really, what happened when you ran the story?
A huge response. We got a record response. It was a story on Bush, on a coward goes to Baghdad. And
right.
we had a huge turnout on both sides. The people on the right just totally attacked the author of the article, and the people, our main clients, the progressive readers, they loved it.
Interesting. See, that's the kind of thing, that Newt and those guys, they used to run focus groups on, and they'd figure out, okay, what word is going to be most successful in devastating the reputation of this guy? And they do a bunch of focus groups, and they'd come up with that word, and if that word for Bush was coward, for example, then they would simply use it at every turn. The cowardly action that Bush took, flying into Baghdad in the darkness, and of course, they're trying to portray it as heroic, and in the next day, Hillary Clinton flies in broad daylight. That's not heroic. It's like, come on.
And she told people she was doing it. She didn't hide it and sneak in and out. But you said this is something they used to do with Newt Gingrich. They're still doing it. You look at who they lead.
Oh, I know.
The leading presidential candidates. They're the guys who are getting hit the worst. They're the ones with the nastiest labels. Dean, they call a crazy. And that's the way they do things. It's their echo chamber.
Yeah, Novak likes to call him the angry little fire plug. I mean, they have tested these words. Rob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Getting this stuff out there, you're doing a good job with Op-Ed News.
OpEdNews.com.
Right, opednews.com. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for the call. Even as the U.S. economy, this from yesterday's Wall Street Journal, even as the U.S. economy continues to show signs of a sturdy recovery, downward pressure on the dollar is building and could hamper prospects of the U.S. rebound, lifting the world's other major economies. In other words, we're going to get a bounce out of the fact that George Bush has borrowed trillions of dollars, 37% of it from foreign countries. And given that money, which he has borrowed, which our children are going to have to pay back, starting 20 years from now, has given that money to the wealthiest in America and to our large defense contractors and big corporations. And now with this Medicare bill to the drug companies and the insurance companies. And so we're going to get a bounce here in the United States. But the problem is that our currency, as I think it was Mike, David from Victorville, California, I think made the point that we are not on the gold standard right now, which means that the currency of the United States has a value which is a function of the wealth of America divided by the number of dollars in print, more or less. Now that's one variable. The other variable is whether people think things are being run well in this country. See, when people in other countries are looking at our dollar and trying to decide what our dollar is worth, they want to know, is our government in good shape? Is it being well managed? And has the government gone on a spree of printing paper money, which we haven't done badly yet? That's what got Germany into trouble in the 20s, where you ended up having to take a wheelbarrow basket full of paper money to the store to buy a loaf of bread. We haven't gotten there yet, but we've been slowly doing it over the years. It's why in 1950 you could buy a house for $15,000, and that same house today would sell for $200,000 or $100,000. It's not because the house has gotten worth more. It's because the dollar's gotten worth less. And there's been this steady inflation, and one of the reasons why the government wants to have a steady inflation is because it pushes people higher and higher up in the tax brackets. You get more and more people paying taxes. And it allows the government to pay back its debts with dollars that are worth less than the dollars that it borrowed. So it's not going to stop inflating our currency. That's going to happen at a baseline. But the bigger issue is, has the government gone nuts? Have the people who are running the administration started behaving in a way that's blatantly irresponsible? And when that happens, when the rest of the world perceives that as happening, and they see the United States government sliding into debt, then they start saying, you know, I really don't want dollars that much. We'll do business in other currencies. And the value of the dollar begins to crash. And as the value of the dollar crashes, of course, from our side of the pond, it looks like the cost of other currencies is going up. When the euro was first introduced, it was more or less roughly 1 euro to the dollar. It now takes $1.20 to buy a euro. What's happened is not that the euro has become more expensive, but that the dollar has become worth less. A year and a half ago, gold was selling for $290 an ounce. Yesterday it was $401 an ounce. Is it because gold is suddenly worth more? No. It's that the dollar is worth less. So what do you do? How do you deal with this? I'll tell you when we come back from this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Truth Arena. Stay tuned. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Tom Hartman Show. Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
People get mad. There's a train of calling. You don't need no package. You just put it on. All you need is faith.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. And thank you for patronizing our sponsors. Here's how it works. George Bush lets the dollar collapse, and it makes foreign imports, that is things coming into this country from other countries, more expensive. So we buy fewer of them. And it makes our exports cheaper. So it's one way of actually kind of solving the problem of America being wiped out in the foreign trade arena. But it only does it in a very small way, and it doesn't do it anywhere near as effectively as targeted tariffs that protect specific industries. Because there are some things that we do want to import easily and cheaply because we don't make them here and we never intend to. And there are other things where we're competing in, you know, like in steel and death battles with other industries and other countries that are subsidized or have unfair competitive advantages, and we want to have protection. So it's not a rational way. It's a conservative way, but it's not a rational way of engaging in foreign trade policy and monetary policy. What can we do? Get debt free, number one. Number two, if you have an investment in your home, make sure that your mortgage is not an adjustable rate mortgage. Even if you have to pay points and fees and things to redo it, get out of adjustable rate mortgages and get into fixed rate mortgages immediately, because inflation in the next 5 years is going to go through the roof, I guarantee you. If you have money to invest, look at gold, look at oil stocks, foreign stocks, and I-series, that's inflation-adjusted series savings bonds. Because the bottom line here is that George Bush and this administration, and the most important thing that we can do is get politically active so that we can get somebody in office in the White House and elect people to the Congress of the United States, which is perhaps the most important. They're the ones who have the power of the purse. And elect people to the House and Senate who are going to make rational decisions that are in the best interests of the United States citizens rather than in the best interests of the corporations. We need to throw out the bums who are representing the corporations and bring in statespeople who are representing you and me. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont, engineered by Steph Stryker, John Lucas, and Char Jones in Detroit. Thank you all very much. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. This is tomorrow.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the fields that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly.